Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro call. Today is April 8th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by going to motivitality.com and listening to all of the archives, or you can subscribe to Motivitality whatever Google or whatever podcast application you have. Sorry, I had a little brain cramp. Like, where are we? What are we doing here? You can subscribe and listen to them later, like, especially if you forgot what you said or what you were going to say, and then you could listen and realize how you fumbled around when you're starting a weekly call that you do every week. Anyway, we will start the call off the same way we do just about every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything that we can help you with? Any questions or anything that that you might have?
Kelly, if nobody else has anything, I have a couple of things, one of which kind of leads into our topic today. Does
sure.
anybody
Go
else
ahead.
Have anything, though? No? Cricket? All right. So one of the things that I've noticed over this past week, people are starting to do more on home improvements. They're getting their stimulus checks and possibly their tax returns back, and they're spending money. And I think right across the country, like February, it seems February was a low month for most people. March definitely picked up. I'm seeing April pick up also. So people are spending money. But one of the things that I'm noticing is they're reaching out more on Facebook. And I always talk about the importance of being on Facebook and kind of keeping an eye on the different community pages and what people are asking about their water. I'm also seeing very often they'll post a picture, black water, or they'll post a picture of just say, my water softener isn't working. And so I'll go in and I'll start chatting with them. And people, first off, usually don't know what they have in their home because they purchased the home and there was just equipment down there. Maybe they were told that they are supposed to put salt in it, but that's about it. And we all know that, you know, when you go into a home, sometimes it's a tank with a meter on top. Sometimes it's difficult to know exactly what that is from pictures, even if you're messaging them on Facebook and you're like, send me a picture of what you have. And they send you a picture, you don't know exactly what it is. So I can't stress enough the importance of, first off, asking a lot of questions, but second off, getting into that home and physically looking at the water, testing the water yourself, and looking at the equipment, because that is how you're going to be able to give an answer as to how much does this cost, what kind of equipment should I have. Somebody else told me I should have this. Just because somebody else told them they should have that doesn't mean it's right and it's right for them. So I guess that's kind of the moral of my story is make sure you get in the home and ask lots of questions.
Yeah, and you know, that is the key to really sales in general is, you know, we used to talk a lot about that. Remember back when we used to do those gatherings, like those home show things where it would be like a, you know, where there would be booths and a lot of different companies. When it seems like we did that in, right around the time microwaves were invented is what it feels like. But that's, I used to see salespeople, you know, a customer would come up in a similar way on what you're talking about, Jen. It's not just limited to Facebook, although that the online stuff is what we're seeing a lot more of now, but a customer would come up and they would say, so my water's, you know, I think my water softener is broken, or my water's not working, or my water tastes funny. And they would start something like that. They would have a, a statement that they would start with. And I would see the salespeople just jump right in and start giving them information, much like what you're talking about. Oh, you should do this, or you should do that, or whatever. And I used to think that's there, you're giving so much information without even knowing what you're giving information about. I mean, when somebody says something, it triggers a picture in your head. And if you don't gather more information, all you're going to be stuck with is the picture in your head from your experiences, not from the customer's experience, which means that you might stumble on what the issue is, but more likely it's going to be something completely different. So you're right. It's all got to be centered around the questions. You've got to ask, you know, how old is the system? Where did you get it? And did you buy it yourself? You know, has it always worked, you know, or has it never worked, or, you know, whatever you need, you can gather information. And the more you know about not only the products you carry, but the products that your competitors carry and the other products that are on the market or the products that are no longer available, the more accurately you're going to be able to answer those questions. So I think that you're absolutely correct that the, you know, I've often said he or she who asks the most questions makes the sale. So if you are in any situation like that and you leave that appointment or you leave that conversation and realizing that the person you were talking to asked you way more questions than you asked them, you're probably going to keep the equipment, which, you know, we're in sales. That doesn't work for us. We want to get rid of the equipment. We want to sell the equipment. So it should be a little game, you know, make it a game for yourself in any of those conversations. Who's asking the most questions? Who's learning the most? Because whoever learns the most from the other person is the one that's going to be able to make the right recommendation. So and that is across the board, whether it is on social media or in person or in a sales presentation or even if you're the person answering the phones to set the appointment, that is the case. So
right. And you know, in addition to that, the person that says, well, this other company told me that I needed such and such. It's kind of funny. My uncle had told me, well, he asked me what type of equipment to get. And then I said, well, I would have to test your water, bring me a sample. I wasn't able to get out to his house. And he's like, well, I went online and I filled out like all the information. And this online company told me that this is the piece of equipment I would need. So, but at first he just said, such and such company told me I needed this. So my response was, well, you know, a professional company would come out to your home and make sure for sure that that's what you need and do the plumbing assessment. And, you know, because you really can't diagnose water over the phone, you know, and I guess I have a little hard time, like with the teledoctors and the virtual and stuff, it's a little bit different, but just over the phone, it's difficult to just diagnose over the phone. So just because somebody else, and so my response was, well, you should have somebody come in and look at everything to make sure you're getting the right equipment.
I mean, sometimes you'll get it right. You know, sometimes if it's, you can buy certain things, but you're right. I mean, we just had one of the clients that we're working with just had one last week where they weren't, you know, they put in a filter, a backwashing filter, and hadn't done a sustained pressure test, you know, basically the bucket test to make sure that there were enough gallons per minute in order to, so it worked great when they put it in, and, you know, they tested the pressure right when they put it in, but they didn't do the sustained bucket test, meaning letting it run for 5-10 minutes to make sure that it was going to have enough sustained water to backwash that backwashing. It was a neutralizer, you know, a backwashing neutralizer, and the filter failed. You know, it wasn't backwashing properly. You can't determine that online. And if a customer doesn't know what to look for or to do that themselves, they're going to have problems, definitely. So, So no, that's really good advice, Jen. Questions. That's definitely. Anybody else have anything to add on that one? Jen, you said you had a second. Yep, you said you had a second thing.
I do. So I was recently talking with somebody, one of my mom's nurses, and she was talking about how she's getting quotes for her backyard. And she apparently is getting patios put in and stuff dug out and electricity and hot tub and all kinds of stuff going on in her backyard. And the first thing she wanted to make sure is that who does it is going to be licensed and insured and legit. She's not just getting a handyman out of the, Facebook ads or anything like that. But so she started having different contractors come out. And, of course, like building a house, the backyard is somewhere where she has to have an electrician. She has to have the pull a permit for the electricity and had the inspector come out. She had to have somebody that's going to pour the concrete. And, all the different steps, somebody who was going to do the fencing, somebody that was going to cut the trees, all the different steps that she was doing, she had to have somebody come out and give her a quote. And one of the things that she was complaining about, she said, first off, the first guy that came out, he was newer. And he said that he had been with the company for about 6 months. And but every time she asked him something, he would literally say, I have to call my boss. I'm not sure if we can do that. I have to call my boss. And then he told her, well, from the driveway to this patio, there's going to be a 7-inch step up. And she's like, I don't want a 7-inch step up because I'll trip over it every single day. So, but he insisted there would be a 7-inch step up. And she said everything that he asked her for, it was either I have to call my boss or that's not possible. So that was her very first person that came out. And she was like, great, everybody's going to be a jerk to me now. So she had her guard up with everybody else. And she finally figured out that not everybody was like that. But then the other part of it was, she says, I got 4 people that came out. And she says, now getting 4, even though I made 10 phone calls, made 10 appointments, only 3 to 4 would show up. And then in addition to that, she'd have to wait for quotes. And that was frustrating for her. And as I was telling her she knows what I do for a living, she says, how long does it take to get a quote? And so then she said some of these quotes would show up and just be like, such and such in backyard and like no specifics. But then there would be other ones that were like very detailed and kind of broke everything down and which were nice. Some of those were a little bit more expensive, but she said she felt a little bit more comfortable with the quote that had everything itemized. So the question of the day is, how long does it take for you to get your quotes out there, and how long do you think you should wait to give somebody a quote? So I'd like to hear some thoughts. And I
Jen.
Hi, Maria.
Hi. I try to give the quote while I'm there. I mean, there are sometimes I have to come back because I have to find out something because it's a particular item or a situation. But for the most part, I try to give a quote before I leave the building.
So your quotes, are they itemized or do you just put down water treatment or water softener?
No, I detail everything.
Okay.
With pictures.
On your quote?
No, not on the quote, but I write the quote. With them, I explain each thing and what it equals and how much it costs and what they're getting.
Perfect.
At least I try to.
On your quotes, do you have, like, maybe even check boxes or water softener will take care of calcium? or iron filter will take care of iron, or, you know, these are the things that this equipment is intended to reduce. Do you have anything like that on your quotes, or why you need that piece of equipment?
It's not on the quote, but after I leave the house and they have the quote, I follow up with a separate email that I give their test results and what the systems are, what the maintenance is, what they remove, depending on what we were talking about. If they were concerned about lead or if they were concerned about 1,4-dioxin, or it would be also depending on our conversations what I would send them afterwards. That would be a follow-up email.
Excellent. Good. Good. That's good. How about, and now what happens if you have something that's just kind of wonky, that you're like, okay, I'm not sure which piece of equipment will work. You know, what do you do in that case? Obvious, or not exactly sure how much plumbing I'll have to, additional copper or something like that. Let me take pictures back to my installer and get ideas. How long do you wait to return a quote at that time?
Often I will tell them that I have to do a little more follow-up and give them the best options. I will, even if I don't have the quote right away, I would follow up definitely the next day or the day after, telling them what I'm working on and that I would be getting back to them and what I'm looking into. I often, you know, like if there is something wonky, I will say, listen, I have to go over this with my installer just to confirm. There may be an additional, you know, it's just, the goal is to be as transparent as possible, so that they, you know, understand you're not trying to snow them. I'm trying to give you your best options, your best choices. But actually, just so being transparent, you know, if I'm having, you know, if I'm researching something and I want to get you the best options or the best choices for your problem.
Excellent. Excellent. How about anybody else?
This is Brian. We tend to try and get most of our proposals are done through email. So we go over the options with them and then follow up with giving them a written estimate as far as via email. And yes, we do usually include those things to where it's, finding out what their needs and wants are. And if it's, you know, worried about the calcium and the magnesium or the, you know, the minerals, what have you, in our area, we have a lot of chlorine. You know, we're usually putting things in there that include that this removes that and does that. And we do tend to, when we're giving options, sometimes we go over what the maintenance is going to be, because that's sometimes, you know, that has something to do with what they pick. You know, some are more expensive, but there's less maintenance on them.
Excellent.
How long are you, after your call, are you sending that email, Brian?
We're trying to get, as a general rule, really getting it out the same day. Unless
okay,
there's
so
some hold up.
You're not doing it at the home. You're.
Yes, generally, because that's the thing, is as we're talking about it there, but then actually giving it to them when they're looking for options, we're sending them via email as a general rule.
Do they?
Now, is that like with, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Is that through like a CRM? Because I know there are some CRMs that you have the ability to quote. Like you tap on, okay, this piece of equipment, which already has the description in there and the price. And then if there's discounts, there's like a discount button. And then you can literally email it as you're sitting in the home with them. And then in this one particular CRM that we work with, is they can approve it, sign it, and send it right back while you're in the home and then set up for installation. Is that kind of how you do it, or do you do just a regular email?
No, regular email.
Okay, awesome. That's good.
So I wonder, okay, so here's a devil's advocate question. For those of you, because I grew up in sales, right? And I mean, when I say grew up, I mean in this industry coming in, we always, everything was paper. We wrote the prices down. We had it on a paper sales agreement. quite honestly, that's what I'm still most comfortable with, leaving it to the leaving it with the customer right then and there. And that's because as a consumer, when I buy something, if I have somebody out to my home to quote me something, the number one burning question in my head is how much is it? How much is it? How much is it? How much is it going to cost? What's it going to cost? And I think that that's pretty common with every customer. They want to know. We talked about this on this call before. They are constantly asking, what's this going to cost? What's this going to cost? And Jen, a couple of your points here. First off, you need to know your prices so that you can at least give them a pretty good idea, a good estimate of what that's going to be. Secondly, you need, in my opinion, to give them that answer as soon as possible. But here's what I hear from a lot of salespeople. Well, I don't want to leave a quote for them because they're just going to take it and give it to a competitor. I just want to, we don't have enough time to talk about that one completely, but I want to kind of squash that a little bit, or at least firmly state my opinion on that. And it is, and this is my response when I hear a salesperson tell me that they don't want the competitor to see their pricing. I'm going to say, why are you letting them dictate what you do? Are you embarrassed about your price? Look, not everybody buys on price. Some people do. That's why there are discount stores out there, okay? Some people buy on price. But if everybody bought things on price, there would be no high-end equipment out there. There would be no Mercedes. There would be no Cadillacs. There would be no BMWs, no Teslas, none of that. None of that stuff would be on, out there. You wouldn't have high-end electronics. If everybody bought on price, then everything would be cheaper. Okay, so yeah, there are certainly customers out there that buy on price. There are certainly customers that buy on the internet. But you got to make a decision. Do you want to be somebody who sells on price, or do you want to be somebody who sells on your service and your quality and your education and your knowledge and stuff like that? I mean, if you have a product that is of high quality, you should be proud of your prices and don't be embarrassed about what your competitors do. Okay, they do a good enough presentation that it justifies the price, not that you're embarrassed about your competitors finding out what that price is. That's my take on it. The customers want to know how much it's going to cost. I will tell you, I've been working with a couple clients that are doing, trying to go paperless entirely, and I've actually found it difficult. Maria, what you're doing, I think, is really kind of the perfect way, where it's a hybrid, where you're giving them a price, and then you're sending the details of that price, because that satisfies their curiosity of what it is, but then it gives you another opportunity to get back in front of them, to basically touch them again, right? So you're giving them a price. So they're wondering what it's going to be, how much it's going to be. They have that idea. Now you're reaching back out to them again, and all the things that you told them in person verbally, you're now giving them in more detail with a more detailed quote. That to me seems like a really good way of doing it for a couple, like I said, a couple reasons. I mean, you're quenching their what is the price thirst, and then it gives you a reason to reach back out again. It takes away that, what is that next contact going to be? That's always the hard part, right? You left, you had the presentation, you thought it was great. When is the appropriate time to reach back out and talk to them again without sounding pushy or anything like that? You are actually giving yourself permission, or they're giving you permission to reach back out again, maybe even after they had somebody come in an hour after you get to touch them again after you have left. Have you found that to be the case? Have you found that, have you noticed that having an impact when you do it that way?
Yes. They'll even, because a lot of times people will come in and just tell them things. People don't remember things. They don't. I mean, because you're giving them a lot of information at once. So a lot of times, even this, all the stuff that I follow up and I attach, even attachments of stuff we talked about, so that they can, if your husband's not there or he didn't hear it, or you guys can basically look back and say, oh, yeah, that's why she's, you know what I'm saying? So, yes, absolutely everything I talk about. And again, also depending on what their issues are. If they're really concerned with hardness or they're having skin issues or, you know, I attach things with that. And then it does come back because, you know, other sales professionals don't always do that. They don't break it down. And then I get questions after they've met other people because I've left that door open for them.
You know what's always amazing? Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, please.
I don't want to get off topic too much, but one of the things that we've been running into a great deal lately is one-leggers, and everybody always wants to talk to. Has anybody had any particular success that has helped them as far as scheduling or anything like that that doesn't seem too pushy to try and make sure both people are there?
Yeah, so that's you know, with the pandemic, it was, I think, one of the reasons I think so many companies had a better success because you had, you know, both people home. That was true. But that a lot of times starts with the, we've done entire calls on this. Was that Brian that asked that question?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Brian. So we've actually had calls on it. You can go back to the archives and find that. But it may be, Corey, I don't know if you want to make a note. Maybe we should do another call entirely on, you know, talking about one-leggers again, because it's a bigger conversation, but, or even on how to answer the phone, you know, because it does start at the office or when you're setting an appointment. But Brian, what I've always had success with when you're, first off, you have to be willing when you're talking to the customer to accommodate the customer's schedule. So in this job, you have to be willing to go on the weekends or evenings or whenever they are there. That's part of the nature of this job. The other thing is it has to be a lot of times done when you're setting the appointment, because you can't just say, is your husband going to be there? Is your wife going to be there? What I used to say when I was setting the appointments, of course, I was mostly setting my own appointments. Most of mine when I was in sales was creative. But what I would say is something like, you know, if you're anything like my wife and I, when we do something like this for the home, you know, when we're talking to somebody, she'll have questions that I don't even think of, and I'll have questions she doesn't think of. So does it make sense to have both of you there? You know, when we come out, I can do that on an evening or a weekend, or whenever is convenient for you. And a lot of times they are setting the one-leggers because they don't know that we are willing to work something other than 9 to 5. A lot of companies only work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and they do it during that time. So if you're willing to accommodate them, the other thing is when you get out there into the home, sometimes it's frustrating, you know, but you know, there's only one of them there, or I got to leave in 10 minutes to take the kids. Be willing to reschedule it, you know, show them respect. You know, if you want, is there a better time I can swing back? You know, it shows. And if they say, no, I can handle it, I'll get the information, then you, they can't say, well, let me talk to my, I mean, they still can, but it does take away their ability at some point to say, well, let me talk to my husband or wife about it, or, you know, let me see what's there. But you got to be, and the only thing is, if they say, no, I can handle it, I'm going to be making that decision, you got to trust them to do that. You definitely can't. And like I said, there's a whole nother call on this that we can talk about. Jen has a lot to say about this that's extremely valuable, especially from the female perspective. But you can't say, and there's still companies out there that do, you know, that won't even go out unless both spouses are there. But we're in 2021.
It's different. You know, yes. Yes.
Yeah. So,
and a lot of people can smell that, you know, oh crap, this is going to be like a, you know, old time sales call, and they don't, you know,
exactly.
Like, you're starting off in the wrong foot.
That absolutely. No, I think that's Corey, if we make a note of that and put that on, let's put that on a couple week schedule. Speaking of which, we are always looking for topics. You know, we do 45 to 50 of these things a year. So if there's a topic you want us to talk about, Brian, or anybody else on here, please shoot us a note. We would appreciate that a lot more than sometimes scrounging for topics that you guys want to hear about. So that's awesome. Any final thoughts here before we end? Guys, I so appreciate the opportunity on behalf of Motor Vitality here to do these calls. Thank you for taking your time. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care.